Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC and Senator Dick Durbin, number two Democrat in the Senate from Illinois. Who are you sitting with at the State of the Union?
My new Senate Republican colleague from Illinois, Mark Kirk, and I are going to sit together. I'm bringing the popcorn. He's bringing a Coke with two straws. I'm just kidding, of course.
Just kidding about the Coke with two straws. Dick Durbin on Fox News Sunday yesterday. And so we've heard from Mark Udall. We've heard Dick Durbin. We heard Anthony Weiner sitting with Peter King, Chuck Schumer sitting with Tom Coburn. Let's play a little bipartisan chat roulette. As I said, for the next few minutes, we're inviting Democrats and Republicans to call in, not to debate, but to ask each other a question. 212-433-WNYC. Right now, all our Democratic lines are full, and we've got – and some independents can get in on this, too, from, you know, if you're – wherever you are on the political spectrum. Political chat roulette, bipartisan chat roulette plus – all our Democratic lines are full. We have some Republicans and conservatives as well. We have a couple of open lines on that side. So call in if you're a Republican who wants to play chat roulette with somebody. Let's see. Where are we going to start here? Is it lines 4 and 5? All right. Let's start with lines 4 and 5. Genevieve in Brooklyn and Frank in Yonkers. Genevieve, you there?
Yes, I am.
And Frank, do we have you? Frank, you there?
I'm here.
Hi, Frank. Thanks so much for calling, and you're on with Genevieve in Brooklyn. Genevieve, Frank. Genevieve,
yes.
You get the first question.
Okay. My question is, I listen to you guys all the time, and I hear Republicans and Democrats discussing about health care, and what I never hear the answer to from Republicans, and it's a totally sincere question, is why is it that they don't want us to have some kind of national health care or accessible health care that's have something to do that's not privatized with the government and is run by the government in the way that we have public schools, in the way that we have other public services like the post office, so that it's just this basic quality of life where we know we can go to the doctor just like we know we can send our kids to school?
Frank, go ahead.
It's a very good question, but I don't know that I really have the answer for that. Could you be more specific in that?
In other words, it seems like the privatization of medical care makes it a very stressful situation for people who can't afford health coverage, and it would be the same as if public school there was only private school, and every mother had to worry that their child might not go to first grade. Well, there's lots of mothers who worry what kind of health care that their child is going to get if they're not able to afford insurance.
Right. So, Frank, her question is, why wouldn't Republicans want that security?
Yeah, I guess the answer really is that we're paying too much for public schools as is. I think we're paying $20,000 a student per year. I mean, that is ridiculous. When I went to grammar school, I went to parochial school. I don't think we paid anything, and we had 60 students in a classroom. There was a tremendous amount of competition, and you know, it was a different era, but I guess that's part of why the health care thing wouldn't work too well in this country. And it leads me to my question, and my question is, why didn't the president's plan include big deductibles? We're not all paupers in this country, and we can well afford to go to the doctor when we get the first sniffle and pay for it. Mm-hmm. And we can pay for many things. We should be able to decide what that deductible should be. It could be up to $10,000. It could be up to $20,000. There's people that ride around this country today, average people ride around with, you know, $30,000 cars. We can afford big rents. We can afford big houses. We should be able to make decisions for ourselves in this country today, as we have been able to in the past. We're able to do it with car insurance. We can decide what deductible we want. so that we're not going to the body shop and expecting to be paid for every little dent on the car.
So what's your question to Genevieve?
My question is, why haven't we heard from our president this way, and why doesn't his health care plan include choices, real choices for the people, so that the people are not paying for every little snipple, and you're not jamming up a health care system to the point where it's ridiculous.
All right. Genevieve, you got an answer?
Well, I'm definitely not an expert on the full details of the health care plan that was passed. I feel like the Republican Congress fought them every inch of the way on that plan, and that there was so many compromises made that it just turned into a big tangled up mess. I have no idea.
Yeah, you don't have to be policy wonks in this conversation.
But my point is that if it's not a perfect plan, I think it's because, you know, there wasn't very much cooperation from either side. I'm not proposing that Obama's plan specifically was the way to go, but my husband is from Argentina, which is a very working class to poor country, and they do provide health care very inexpensively or free to everyone, and, you know, that just causes this quality of life that takes a huge amount of stress off of working people.
All right, and you know,
parents.
Guys, I'm going to move on. I want to get some other pairs on in our time and don't want to get too bogged down in the healthcare debate here. But Genevieve and Frank, would you sit with each other at the State of the Union address tonight, if you could?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay.
I would, but I don't think that it should be televised at all, and I don't think that the people should be worried about where the hell they're going to sit. They should be worried about what they're going to be listening to.
You have a reaction to that seating arrangement thing, Genevieve?
I think it's always good when people of opposing sides are able to be with each other one-on-one as real individuals.
And Genevieve and Frank, I'm glad you were both able to do that and willing to do that with us. Thank you very, very much for participating.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go to our next pair in bipartisan chat roulette. Emily in Huntington, meet Judith on the Upper West Side. Emily, you there?
Hi.
And
yes.
Judith?
Hi, Emily.
Emily,
you
want to start?
Sure. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't realize the format of this was that I guess Judith wants to answer a question about education.
Well, no, it's not about any particular topic. It's you as a Republican or conservative get to ask Judith any one question about being a Democrat or a liberal, and then she gets to ask you a question.
Okay?
And it doesn't have to be a gotcha question. You know, it can just be a curious question.
Okay.
You got one, or you want her to start?
Start. My question is, basically, how can people be against vouchers for education when really without vouchers, it just eliminates choice of school choices, and the people that it really hurts the most are certainly the poor who can't afford any alternative or can't move. And so other people have a little bit more choice because they'll move to a better school district or possibly pay for education. But really, vouchers mean choice. And I think all of the arguments that people raise against vouchers simply don't hold water. And I just want to say one more thing about non-public schools. Mm-hmm. Generally provide better education at a lower cost. You can look at many, many studies that show that public education is wastes a lot of money and doesn't do as good of a job, and we simply don't have the choice.
And by the way, you'll probably both be interested, Emily, because you raised this issue, and Judith, because you live on the Upper West Side, that in our next hour we'll be having a debate about the controversial charter school proposed for the Upper West Side. It would be the first one in that neighborhood. We'll have Eva Moskowitz, who runs that charter school company, and the City Council Education Chairman, Robert Jackson. So just a plug for something that may be of interest to both of you coming up later in the show. But Judith, I don't know if education or vouchers is one of your issues, but what's your answer to Emily?
Mine is the fear of drainage from the public school system financially. And we need to support
and develop our public schools, not take away from them.
She says drain the swamp. They're such failures. If you give them give each family a voucher and then let schools compete for those vouchers, that the whole thing might wind up better for more kids. Have you given that one any thought, Judith?
I have, and I'm full of all kinds of trepidations. I'm also a retired para from the public school system, and I'm also thinking in terms of organized labor, the teachers being able to be unionized and protected. And I know that teachers that teach in private schools sometimes get a raw deal, and there's no job security, and all there are so many minutiae involved in this issue. But I'm mainly frightened of taking anything more away from our public schools. A lot of the problems in functioning of public schools is the crowded classrooms and the lack of a good budget for them.
Judith, you want to ask Emily any question? Emily, I don't want to go round and round. This is not. I would love to have you back, and you can answer however you want when Judith asks you a question. But this is not the segment where we're going deep on every single issue. But
can I just respond to one of hers about the drain? It doesn't mean that you have to drain public schools. You could give the vouchers to public schools.
How would you give the? I'll bite on that. I would love that. What do you mean by
parents
give vouchers?
Parents should be able to put their kids in whatever school they want.
Oh, the parents could use vouchers in a public school.
Absolutely.
I agree with you.
I'm not a conservative.
Right.
I agree. If your kid's in a school that you hate, you should have the right to take the kid out of there. I've seen a lot of bad situations where the parents were not happy with the school. And they should be free to take the kid out.
Common ground.
In a better school.
We got a little common ground there. Judith, you have a question for Emily?
Yes. Do you think that if these gazillionaire Congress people, the Capitol people, all the people that we put in the Capitol, and they're making gazillion dollars a year, and do you think they would function more in our interest if they earned... if they got a salary of $30,000 a year plus GHI and a city pension, do you think that they would function maybe a little more in the interest of the people that they're supposed to be representing?
No, I think you get what you pay for. I mean, people are not going to take a job for $30,000 if they can get a job for $130,000, and I think you pay for quality. That's not to say that everyone there is quality, but I think that's not realistic.
And we will leave it there. Emily from Huntington, Judith from the Upper West Side, thank you both very much for engaging and having that conversation with each other.
Thank you. Take care.
And
bye-bye.
Even a point of common ground on a value, an important value, that parents should have some choice, whether it's in a voucher system as conservatives envision it or not, some power over where they send their kids to school. And let's do one more matchup. Keith in Washington Heights and Hema, is it Hema?
Yes.
In Somerset.
Yes.
Keith, meet Hema. Hema, Keith.
Hey, hello, Hema.
Hi, how are you? Hi, Keith.
Hema,
hi,
how are you? Hema, you get to go first.
Okay. I'm from India, actually, and I'm a healthcare provider in New Jersey. And I'm a liberal, you know, in the sense that I feel in this country I'm shocked at how the Republicans cringe about how, you know, spending money on education, spending money on healthcare. You know, this country is so prosperous, and the corporates get a lot of subsidies. And the other reason is I think they're demonizing the healthcare plan without really understanding what it entails. To be able to provide, you know, good health care to everybody at affordable rates is a good thing. And, you know, the other thing is that they seem to think that it's going to cost a lot of money, which in reality it doesn't. If you think about the amount of money we're spending on the military, we're spending on the wars.
So what's your question? Forgive me, and we're going to run out of time very shortly, sure. But what's your question?
Oh, well, you know, the sense that the Republicans seem to be thinking that you can spend a lot of money on the war and the other things, whereas they're sort of begrudge the amount that's being spent on healthcare or education.
Keith, you want to go there briefly?
Sure. What was the question? Was there a question? I'm not sure what the question was.
I guess the question
was, you know, why is the Republicans feel that the healthcare plan that Obama has put forth is going to cost a lot of money? I mean, it's just a question of that more people have to...
Why is it less worth the money than the military spending, I guess,
exactly,
is really the question.
Okay. I mean, to me, they're obviously two different things. The military spending is something that is essential to any country, and you can't put it together with social spending. Socialism has been proven not to work. When the person's going to get free anything, they're going to end up spending a lot more of it. If it doesn't cost you a penny to go to the doctor ever, you're going to keep going to the doctor, and that's sort of what got us into this mess in the first place. 30 years ago, you went to the doctor and you had to spend $50 or $60. You didn't go every time you had a sniffle. But the minute it becomes socialized, it gets more and more expensive. And it's true of anything. I mean, there are countries where they subsidize bread and milk, and that's all people eat is bread and milk, because it's going to cost you a dime for a loaf of bread. Anything that's subsidized, you're going to be used more and more of it. It can get more and more expensive.
And, Keith, what question would you like to ask Hema?
I have a lot of questions, and this one, I don't know if it's going to work, depending how long you've been in the country for. But I have to admit, did you follow the Bush-Gore thing in 2000, Hema?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I never understood why it is that the left is all hung up on the election, quote-unquote, being stolen from Gore. Because Gore had intellectually the most inconsistent argument when he only wanted to recount a specific number, three or four or five areas in Florida, counties, out of about, 30 or 40 in Florida, that he thought he had the chance to gain the most number of votes in those specific counties.
Well,
you can say that Bush didn't want to recount it, but nobody who wins ever asked for a recount.
Keith, you've been stewing about this for a decade.
No, I haven't been stewing. Brian, one of the reasons I started tuning into your show is because I wanted to hear what the liberals, I know you're going to say it's not a liberal show, I never understood how the liberals thought that Gore was consistent when he only wanted to recount about 10% of the state.
Hema, go ahead. We have 30 seconds.
Okay. I don't have the real specifics, but one can say this. You know, Kathleen Harris, who was actually championed for Bush, she did end up with certain good positions for herself. So, I mean, that itself speaks for itself.
The Florida Secretary of State.
Yeah.
Doesn't answer the question, but...
Like I said, I didn't know the specifics, but the thing with I'm talking about the healthcare is that, I don't see, we are having so much of waste in the military sector, and just to spend about even a little bit for healthcare, people think it's such a big thing. I personally, I'm shocked that there are a number of people who are uninsured in this country. And, health is an important thing for everybody. And I don't think that the Obama plan is actually going to cause a lot of, people to go unnecessarily to the doctor.
And
nobody has the time to do that.
He's saying that
people should get pre-care. It's basically one of the main points is that children who are under a certain age get covered under the parents' policy.
And you know what? We have to leave it there. And I appreciate Keith and Hema, both of you, engaging, and all the pairs that we had on the air during this bipartisan chat roulette. We will do more, I promise you. Isn't it great when we have people from the area who have things to say and things to ask? They were all challenging questions and not curious questions. People are burning with the things that they believe in around the politics of the day, and that's fine. So thank you all very much for engaging in bipartisan chat roulette here on the day of the State of the Union address. Now, we have an informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific opinion poll on our politics website. It's afreecountry.org. The question is, why will you watch the State of the Union address? Go see the five choices that we have and register your response. Why will you watch the State of the Union address? Go see our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific opinion poll on itsafreecountry.org. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, when we come back in a minute, why does the mafia still exist in the 21st century? We will try to answer that question. Stay tuned.